Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'll tell you how you can do that, R. Kelly. Go get some guys up front who can block. And guys, apparently the Falcons, according to Zach Klein from WSB, are going to make some moves for an offensive guard. The guy's name is Jamon Brown, Mike. It is projected it'll be a 3-year deal, which is kind of the standard deal. But Mike and I are trying to figure out what we know about him. He played last season 8 games with the New York Football Giants, but he's been in the league. He's young, by the way, 25, 26 years old. But he's been in the league now 4 or 5 years, Mike. Started his career with the Rams.
Played at Louisville for Coach Petrino, 3rd-round pick by the then St. Louis Browns in 15. Played for the Rams, started 16 games, and then again, as Squidbilly and I were talking off the air, violated NFL substance abuse policy, 2-game suspension to start this season. So he was waived by the Rams, later claimed by the Giants, and that's how he got to play for Big Blue this year.
All right, here's the thing, and we're going to talk more about this. Again, none of these deals become official until tomorrow. Tomorrow, officially, free agency begins, but this is what's being reported, and this gets back to Matt Ryan today. We found out early this morning something I had talked about last week. Move some money around to free up some cap space, and they basically do that and create $7 million of cap space by moving $8.75 million of his base salary into 2019 for Matt Ryan. We said now we could go do a little bit of something, okay? And maybe this is that little bit of something. One thing I want to add, and then we'll move on. This gentleman, Jamon Brown, is a bigger offensive guard than what we've seen with the Falcons. He weighs in about 340. He's 25 years old, as I mentioned, 6'4", 340. Mike, we talked to Coach Quinn about this, and Dirk Cutter has said we're still going to be an outside zone team mixed in with power. If you want to get those fourth and ones, this is what you do. You get bigger up front, especially at this position. That is my theory because it's been an issue for us, and we've talked a lot about it. So you got a bigger body guy in there to maybe move the pile, Mike, and get those 1 yards that we continue to talk about having an issue with.
So, again, the dude was picked up by the Giants. They got some use out of him. He's a relatively young guy, and Carl just told you he's a bigger dude. And I'm all about a bigger dude on this offensive line. Look, we knew we were going to be doing it this way, guys. You know, even without Matt taking and not taking anything away from his contract, he just moved money up and is getting paid earlier. They restructure in form of a bonus. So Matt does move the money forward, which clears up the cap space, which allows you to do things like this. And again, also get your draft class signed, Carl. So, all right, we'll see where it goes on this one. Yesterday, we had the guy, who was it yesterday, Squid? Pasheel? Pamphil was a lineman we were looking at.
Rumor,
apparently,
yeah.
There's no rumor, nothing more than rumors about that. So if you're just tuning in, Jamon Brown, former Giant, now maybe a Falcon.
All right, more about that coming up in our Falcon report and more on the Matt Ryan situation with the money. What's the story, man? What that was an amazing tease you said right before after content.
Did that suck you in, Craig, about why your kids shouldn't smoke marijuana? Did that suck you in? No, because we just and it dovetails nicely with Mr. Brown's former whatever his substance he was abusing issue. All right, real quick. You know, I don't really do a lot of that stuff. I just drink. My drugs are legal in 50 states.
Okay.
I'm more of a boozer guy.
Yes.
But you have a mutual friend. I won't rope you into this too much. But edibles, marijuana, people like these edibles. And I never had this stuff. And apparently you make it into like little candies now, Carl, like a gummy bear almost.
Yeah, listen, I chocolates, all different kinds of things. People back in school used to talk about, you know, putting it in the brownies and the cookies. But now it comes in all shapes, sizes, forms.
Okay, for you folks out there, don't ever drink and don't ever do them together. Because Uncle Michael apparently experienced some of that over the weekend. And guess what I did on Saturday night?
What'd you do?
Went on eBay and I started bidding on Ferraris.
I'm sorry?
I started like bidding on cars on eBay. Apparently.
Because you were out of your mind?
I was not in my, did I have full mental capacity? Although some would argue, when do I ever have full mental capacity? No, after a wonderful night out of dinner, apparently these things do not mix well with alcohol. And I've had this thing on my in a drawer for like a few weeks. Oh, I'll try it. What could possibly go wrong? All my other friends seem to rave about this stuff. And then apparently, I showed you some of the texts. Monday morning, I was getting calls from West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale. all, everywhere where there's an exotic car dealership, someplace in Dallas, Texas. Apparently, the will, again, apparently I had such total clarity, I was actually able to convey my vehicle identification number and how much I owed on my current car to then pursue a new Ferrari. So again, for you kids, stay away from the pot. It's a gateway drug. It turns your brain into mush. You don't do that stuff.
Or you end up bidding on cars.
Or you end up being on the hook for a $450,000 Ferrari.
Yeah. Mike, you know what, man? By the way, and I know our mutual friend, I don't know if I trust him moving forward. I don't know if I trust him.
He's a former college football player, and he deals with a lot of pain, Carl. So he, you know, I was having trouble sleeping. He thought this might help. For you kids, you stay away from that stuff. Back to you, Carl.
Hey, man, let's talk about them dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Yesterday, we had the opportunity to talk with our man Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network draft analyst. And we asked him about some of these dog players, guys, because we wanted to find out his thoughts on some of the guys that we've been talking about that had a chance to compete at the Combine. Two things happen at the Combine. One, you go there and you improve your draft status. We've talked about this. Whether it's your 40 time, well, for big linemen, it's lifting sometimes. Maybe it's your quickness with the shuttle run. But you either do that or you hurt your draft status. And in some cases, you do that by running a bad 40. Or maybe your hands are not as good as they seem to be on the tape.
Right.
You can always try to improve this stuff at your pro day. And we've said this. So you have the combine. But the problem at the combine is it's in front of everybody. Every team is there. Every general manager is there, Mike. And so if you want to make an impression, and I'll give you guys an example. I've talked about this. There have been guys that have gone to the combine, been projected a third or fourth rounder, and whoop, moved up to become first round picks because of the performance they put on.
Now, it's funny because remember the story about Kyler Murray, and he had to get that magic number, 5'10", Carl, had to be reached. And there's all these like sort of tinfoil cap conspiracy theories out there that they're tracing him to a spinal decompression center at a chiropractor's office. So either he was hanging upside down like a bat for a couple of nights leading up to the combine, or he did a spinal decompression. Meanwhile, all he's going to do now is try to shed as much weight to get that 40 time back because he wanted to put on some size for the folks at the combine. The thing about and that's why guys always ask, why isn't that guy running? Why isn't that guy throwing? Well, if you don't want to catch footballs from a guy you've never caught footballs from, you'd rather do it at your pro day. For instance, out there in Athens, you know, with a guy that you're familiar with. Maybe even Jake Fromm throwing you a football. It could be. So that's why some of the guys handled the combine the way they did. But you can only be on that clock once, as Daniel Jeremiah told us, and maybe not make a good impression.
Yeah. So with that, listen, there are going to be dogs that are drafted, and there are going to be some dogs who may surprise some folks being drafted where they were. The one guy that maybe should have stayed in school, and this is not me saying this, the NFL even sent him a letter and said, hey, we advise you. The NFL commission, you know, advisory commission says stay in school. And it was Isaac Nada. And Nada is a guy that came out and he talked about this to D. Orlando Ledbetter. He talked about it to reporters. So we had Daniel Jeremiah address Isaac Nada and Elijah Holyfield, our running back from Georgia, as to where they may end up.
Nah, he ran his way into the bottom of the draft.
Wow. Okay.
He did not have a good workout. So you're already talking about somebody that's a little bit, you're thinking he's going to be an H, you know, more of a move guy. And then you've got a loaded, loaded tight end group. And then he ran terrible. That hurt him. I think he's probably going to be a fifth or a sixth round pick in this draft.
Okay.
Should have stayed
in school. And then Elijah Holyfield.
He had no reason for him to come out in this year's draft. There's too many guys.
Elijah Holyfield, also a fifth or sixth rounder, in your opinion?
Yeah, he's another one. He's got to try and clean that up a little bit. You know, I think maybe he's, you know, the high watermark would be the third, you know, third or the fourth. But as it stands right now, it's, you know, you're looking at a fifth or a sixth round guy.
Yikes.
That is Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah, you know, you and I specifically for Isaac Nada. Now, again, I don't necessarily blame Holyfield, Carl, because the wear and tear. You know, you're going to be taking some hits, and also you know that you're going to be spreading carries throughout guys like Zeus and Swift. Zamir White's back, and he's healthy. So why not head out to the pros? But in the case of Isaac Nada, you didn't really have the sample size, and I was kind of you're hoping that Coley might get you the ball when the previous offensive coordinator, Chaney, couldn't.
I don't know, Mike. I think, you know, I'm hoping this decision doesn't come back to bite him, all right? I'll tell you this, though. The one guy that we thought, hey, guaranteed first-round pick, right, is our defensive back. Baker, man, he's going to be a first-round pick, right? Here's what Daniel Jeremiah had to say.
I would have felt a lot better about it before we got to the combine. He did not run as well, did not move around as well as I had hoped to see. The tape is really good. You go purely off what you saw in the fall. This year I thought he played as well as any corner in the country. He just needs to clean some of that stuff up at his pro day. That to me was a little bit of a concern. I don't have a corner in the top 20. I think that group, there's a clump of guys, four or five guys that belong together kind of at the bottom of round one, top of round two. And I wouldn't take one there at 14 because I don't know that there's going to be that much difference between that guy you take there versus who would be available to you in the second round. So that to me, I don't see a big time corner in this group.
That is Daniel Jeremiah again, guys, talking about the dogs. Real quick, we want to interject. Of course, this is always brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
BrightboxElectrical.com, 770-901-2500. For man caves, for home theater, they can do it all, man. Call the guys at Brightbox today. Daniel Jeremiah, by the way, worked in personnel departments in the NFL. That's how he got the gig at NFL Network, and you're wondering what his credibility is. Remember Tony Pauline?
Yes.
Also from a scouting service, he had made those same comments about not liking the way that DeAndre did some of the drills, the corner drills in the combine as well. So Daniel's not the only guy that's kind of devalued some of the defensive backs in his draft.
All right, guys, this just in from our man Adam Schefter. Reporting that the Falcons are going to sign James Carpenter, an offensive guard, who played with the Jets to a four-year deal. So we just talked about moments ago, and this is why we tell you, stay tuned all 5 hours. You never know what's going to happen, especially this time of year when you're talking about free agency and moves being made. We just talked about Jamon Brown. Now, that has not been confirmed. That is, again, our man over at WSB saying that he suspects the Falcons are going to sign him, an offensive guard, that played with the Giants last year, bigger compliment at 6'4", 340. James Carpenter, according to Adam Schefter, is going to sign a four-year deal with the Falcons.
Says he intends to. So,
yes.
So that sounds like it's going to happen. So we'll see. These are all guys that, Carl, they're not household names, but we knew we'd be in that second tier of free agency, as Thomas Dimitroff talked about.
So he is 29 years old. Again, played with Seattle, Dan Quinn, and then played with the Jets. So he was there in 2011, 2012, 2013, and 2014 as a left guard with the Seattle Seahawks. He's been a left guard his entire career. Did play left guard and right tackle to start his rookie season. But this is coming from Adam Schefter. So here we go. If you're addressing offensive line now, which it sounds like our team is, and this is what I've been waiting for, then we are going defense, right, Mike, when the draft rolls around? Because let's just say we get these two guys. And even if we don't, we get one, all right? You're basically saying I'm going to find a guard. You've signed Sambrello, right? You haven't cut Schrader yet. He's still on your team for depth. You're telling me this is what you're doing in free agency. We are addressing the offensive line.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, look, I'm glad we're getting an offensive lineman from Alabama. I just didn't know he'd be from the 2010 draft class. But that's cool. This is a guy, actually, who's 2011. He was a first-round pick. That's the same draft that Julio was in, by the way. So he's a teammate of Julio Jones. He's a big dude. You know, again, we're looking for a little more size. I'm down with that. I mean, just protect Matt Ryan. Run the football.
Yeah. 6'5", 320.
Bigger than what we got, and I don't know if this necessarily fits to the zone blocking scheme to your point earlier about outside zone, but I did hear earlier that Mike Mularkey had talked about it. We've heard the comments from our new offensive coordinator, our old OC, Dirk Cutter. They want to be a little more physical. This would help.
More on this coming up in our Falcon Report.
Ooh.
All right, man. Falcons trying to make some moves. This is why it was important when I said a week ago, if you really want to save and move some money, Matt's got to restructure. And he was willing to do that and get some money moved forward. This is allowing the Falcons to go out and help his offensive line. More on that coming up, guys. When we come back, though, it's Double A, Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager, live from spring training, the latest on our Bravos on Dukes and Bell. Free agency in the NFL, hot and heavy. We'll hit it hard coming up at 5 o'clock here on Dukes and Bell. Falcons reportedly are going to sign Jamon Brown and James Carpenter, both offensive guards. Mike and I will talk more about this coming up, addressing our offensive line in free agency. But right now on the line with us is our other general manager with our Atlanta Braves, and his name is Alex Anthopoulos, guys, and he joins us down there at spring training. Double A, we appreciate you jumping on with us. I know it's been a busy spring training for you guys already. The first thing is, can you give us an update on Folty and where he is And how far along is he right now? Alex Anthopoulos there. Let's make sure he is.
Hey, you got us, Alex? Can you hear us okay?
Yes, sir.
There we go. Can you give us an update, Alex, on Folty and where he is right now?
Yeah, he's doing well. He's feeling very good. Playing catch, throwing. Probably going to try to throw some sliders on flat ground here in the next few days, and we'll get him off a mound hopefully by the end of the weekend, early next week. It's just going to be a matter of how long will it take to get him stretched out to start a big league game. Again, everything's trending in the right direction. If we needed him to come back as a reliever, we'd feel pretty good about him being ready for that first series. But right now, knowing it's going to take time to get him to 5-6 innings, you know, probably this is going to go into the season. And again, I guess it could be a week, 2 weeks, to where we feel like he's ready to go deep into a game for us.
It is Alex Anthopoulos, GM of the Braves, live from down in Florida, man, where they took care of business today. More on the box score on that one coming up. Are you impressed with Kyle Wright? I mean, certainly, you know, age-wise, he should be ready, and he's got dynamic stuff down in spring training so far.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. And I know, obviously, everyone's always going to want us to add big-time, big-name starters, but guys like Fried, Wright, Toussaint, and even Bryce Wilson today, even after the game, I was talking to Flowers, and I was asking him, I said, how do you rank these four? And he goes, wow, that's a really good problem to have. And it's spring training, but irrespective of the environment, well, just like you said, these guys all have fantastic stuff. They're all really high draft picks. These guys all have the abilities to be the ability to be all-stars, you know, as soon as the current year. So Wright has certainly been he's come on sooner than I think we would have expected, considering he just got called up last September. But I think he looks as good as any young starter in Florida right now.
Alex, then, is it fair to say that as an organization, we are not looking for another starter at this point? Is it fair to say that?
You know, I think that'd be a little strong. There's obviously still guys that are out there, and there's still guys, you know, whether it's free agency or trade, and we're still keeping, I guess, our line in the water on some of that stuff. That said, seeing the young core of starters that we have, it makes the bar higher for us to go out and whether it's go get a free agent or go trade for somebody. But you know, the one thing is, we used 13 guys to start games for us last year. I mean, three of those guys only started a game. So at least 10 make more than one start. You're going to need depth. You're going to need a lot of these guys to get through the year. So as much as we love these guys, these young starters, we think they have a chance to be really good. Mm-hmm. Guys will get hurt. Guys won't perform. And having more of them and having more depth is always a good thing.
It's the Braves general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, down from spring training with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And I know that you've talked about the young arms, and we're all excited to see him. But a guy like Anibal Sanchez, like Gio Gonzalez is out there. And at least there's been reports he's willing to take a smaller deal as far as term. Well, you get the younger arms ready. Is that something that would make sense for you?
I mean, I can't speak specifically to a specific free agent, but I can walk you through our thought process. So right now we're looking at whatever order you want to have it in, Newcomb,
right.
Gausman, Julio Teheran, obviously Folty we think will be back very soon, those four guys being in there, and even if we have the three. And then just the way the rotation competition is lining up here, Bryce Wilson obviously throwing the ball well, Touki Toussaint throwing the ball well, Kyle Wright throwing the ball well, Max Fried throwing the ball well. So that's four guys on top of those four that we have, three of which we expect to be healthy to start the year, and then Folty comes back soon after that. So you could be eight deep right there. So I guess what I'd say is when we're looking at free agents, we have to feel good enough that are they significantly better than one of those guys, one of those four, and does it make sense for us to use our resources, whether it's trade or whatnot, to do that? And that's basically the correct criteria that we're going to take a look at with any trade or free agent signing.
We're talking with Alex Anthopoulos, general manager for our Atlanta Braves. Spring training going on, but opening day's right around the corner, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. And, Alex, this is the first time we've had a chance to talk to you and get your reaction. I know you've talked to other reporters about the signing of Bryce Harper in our division again. We've seen him with the Nationals, but moving on to the Phillies. Just being a general manager, what was your reaction, number one, to the money? Were you surprised at all? And then, two, with Bryce staying in our division?
You know, not surprised. I mean, just so much had been talked about leading up to free agency of Machado and Harper. Everyone talked about the Giancarlo Stanton contract, $325 million. Manny Machado obviously signed for $300 million. Bryce signed for a little bit above that, more years. And there was so much speculation, and really, I think everyone expected the Phillies to end up with one of those two. So whether they were going to end up with Machado or Harper, they were going to get better regardless. They were going to add a big-time bat. So on the one hand, from a competitive standpoint, all those teams got better. That's going to make our jobs a lot harder, and it's more challenging. The other side of the coin is that this division is exciting. It's entertaining. Fans are going to be locked in. Everyone's going to want to come to the ballpark. Everyone's going to watch on TV. Reminds me a lot of my AL East days with Toronto, where you had the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Orioles, the Rays, and Toronto all battling all the time to try to get in. Really, you've got four clubs that can all win the division. The Marlins are obviously rebuilding as the fifth club. But not a surprise, because there was so much anticipation and expectation. And it's going to be a dogfight. We're going to all need to stay healthy. Guys are going to have big years. But I'm pretty excited about it, because I think we all have a chance to win.
It is our man, Alex Anthopoulos, GM for the Bravos. We heard the skipper, Snitker, saying we're going to see Vizcaino and Minter kind of in a dual closer role. We do forget sometimes that O'Day comes back and healthy, part of the trade you made last year at the deadline. What are your major concerns now with the bullpen, though?
You know, like anything, we can always use more, right? You can have more depth, and anytime you can upgrade and do better and you add an elite reliever, if somebody comes available, whether that's trade or free agency, it slots everybody down a peg. So, you know, for the most part, our bullpen was solid. It definitely had room to get better. You know, there were times that we didn't have the depth last year, and some of the guys we had to call up, didn't necessarily have to do the best of jobs, and that didn't help our total bullpen ERA. But there's still a lot of upside to this group. There's a lot of talent. I think they can continue to get better. With some of these young starters, if they continue to throw the ball well and we don't have a spot for them in the rotation, they could find themselves in the bullpen at some point as well. So we did a good job in the ninth inning last year. You always like to have that elite lockdown guy. But for the most part, Minter, Vizcaino, I mean, we won the division, won 90 games. Those guys did a great job for us.
Alex Anthopoulos, let me ask you about Josh Donaldson. By the way, I thought this was an interesting pickup. I know you have history with him, but then you go back and look at his numbers, and, you know, for the nerds like me, and I'm going, this dude, when he's healthy, he is a beast. But he hasn't been, and you guys have been really cautious with him. Where is Josh Donaldson this spring, and is he on pace to be where he needs to be?
Yeah, he's on pace. I was just talking to him after the game today. He looked great. His at-bats look outstanding, and you look beyond how hard you're hitting the ball and so on. You know, what is he chasing? How are his takes? When he doesn't swing at a pitch and he takes a strike or takes a ball, how is he seeing the ball? How has the bat speed? Everything looks great. So I think the bat is in line defensively. He's got a chance to win a gold glove. He's a great defender. And we just brought him along slowly with the running, just because last spring I think he did too much too soon and he got hurt. So we're changing his routine a little bit. I mean, this guy was playing last September for the Indians at a high level, played great. Obviously was in the playoffs with them, playing all those games and playing at a high level. So he ended the year healthy. He looked very good. He missed time in 2017, but he still ended up with over 30 homers and a great OPS. And he still played enough to put up big stats. And really, last year was the year where he lost the year in terms of all that playing time. But when he did come back in September, he was the Josh Donaldson of old. So from our standpoint, we're getting a guy we think is an MVP caliber player all around, offense, defense, in the clubhouse. And he's getting ready for opening day, and he's right on track.
It is Alex Anthopoulos, Braves GM, giving us a breakdown of spring training. We're excited to see Austin Riley. I know he's only 21, but want to see him up at the next level at some point. You're going to obviously Camargo, Culberson. Does Duvall really need to get it cranked up here at spring training before you might have to make a decision about him?
Yeah, so right now, Duvall's a guy we wanted to get a lot of at-bats in spring training. Tough for him, being an everyday player with the Reds. Back-to-back years, 30 home runs or more. An all-star guy that's capable of winning the Gold Glove, getting Gold Glove votes and so on. And then last year, doesn't get as much playing time, comes over to us in a part-time role, which he hadn't really done before. And I'm not making excuses for him, but I just think when we look back at it, I think that was a tough thing for him to make a change and be able to adjust. So we wanted to make sure to get him at bats, to get his timing down. He's had a good camp. He's looked good. He's done well. Right now there's no starting spot for him. He's competing for that fourth outfield spot. But he's done a nice job. Guys like Camargo and Riley, we're going to start getting them a look in the outfield as soon as tomorrow. And we're going to see how it looks. But one thing is, we need to continue to have depth on the position player side. as good as we feel about our talent on the mound, we just don't feel like we have the same volume from a position player standpoint. So the guys like Duvall, the guys like Riley, the guys like Camargo, those guys are going to be really key for us.
Alex, if I asked you what your expectation was for Dansby Swanson at the plate, he's got to be a gold glove guy, in my opinion, in the field. What's the expectation there?
You know, I think from what he did from 17 to 18, I think he went from 6 home runs to 14 home runs with really, he hurt his wrist second week of April against the Cubs, and he played through it for five and a half months. And again, to go from 16 to 14 home runs, he drove balls, he showed a lot more power. I mean, the bat definitely made strides from year to year, and that was with not 100% healthy wrist. So I think he's got one more gear that he can get to from an offensive standpoint. Like you said, defense is absolutely the priority. He knows that. It's something we value as a club. It's very important, especially with our young starters. But I do think what Dansby did last year is pretty much his floor, and I think he's just going to continue to get better.
One thing before we cut you loose, Alex, is Alex Anthopoulos joins us from down in Florida. Braves win 5-0, by the way. Ronald Acuna goes 3-for-3 with 2 RBIs. Should fans read anything into the way Snicker's using him, or just experimenting? He'll still be at the top of the lineup this year.
You know, I don't. I mean, I'd say at this point, you know, Brian hasn't made a determination on the lineup. I know he's talked about various scenarios. Acuna could be at the top of the lineup. He could be in the middle behind Freddie Freeman. I mean, that's still to be determined. I think in an ideal scenario, I think, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but if Ender Inciarte is the guy that in 2017 that had 200 hits, or second half of last year where he had close to an 800 OPS and played outstanding, and he's at the top of the lineup with Acuna 4, that works well. I also think you look at a guy like Betts last year with the Red Sox, he led off for that team and they won the MVP, and getting one of your best bats, the most at-bats on the team, is certainly a good thing as well. So I don't think we can go wrong. We don't have to make the decision today, but obviously Brian will make that call as we get to the 28th when we start.
Double A, thank you so much for jumping on with this. We're liking the way our club looks, and I can't wait till the season rolls around. Alex Anthopoulos, continue to do a great job. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you again.
All right, guys, really glad to be on.
Cool, Double A, man, breaking it down. As we said, like, he's confident with the pitching staff. He says there's 8 guys right now that can do it. They're not going to spend the money. I mean, we hope that unless there's somebody who, and he can't specifically talk about guys, but if you could find an innings eater and allow those younger guys to develop, but they may just be forced to do it and maybe make a move at the trade deadline if those guys aren't up to the task.
All right, more on the Falcons moves coming up. All right, we're going to talk specifically about what the Falcons are doing.
What are they doing?
Today we get some focus on where this money is being spent. But coming up next, Ron Hunter joins us for his weekly visit. Georgia State getting ready for their conference tournament and maybe a run in the NCAA tournament. It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk to our man Ron Hunter coming up. They ended the season with the Sun Belt Conference regular season title. We'll talk to Coach Hunter, but I want to make sure everybody's up to date. If you're just jumping in the car, Mike, or maybe you're just accessing the show, Dukes and Bell, for the first time today, Falcons freed up some money this morning, okay? At least a report came out this morning. Could have been 2 days ago. But the fact is, Matt Ryan moving some money around. They added $7 million in additional cap space. Then this afternoon, reports are that Jamon Brown, an offensive guard who played with the Giants, and Mike, a left guard, James Carpenter, from the Jets, are going to sign with the Falcons.
Guys that rank a little bit lower in Pro Football Focus's top 60, if you believe in those metrics, but you're getting some depth in the offensive line. You're getting a little bit of size. You know, a lot of people are saying, are we still zone outside, zone blocking scheme? Because some of these dudes look like they might be more in tune with a power run game. Look, Arthur Blank in an interview was told by the coaching staff that it was still zone blocking, although when you add guys like Mike Mularkey and Dirk Cutter, who wants that power run game, to the staff, we'll see. It'd be music to my ears. Carpenter, a former Alabama player, he's got the pedigree, and in the case of Jamon Brown, he had an issue with the substance and abuse policy, got suspended for 2 games, waived by the Rams, picked up by the Giants, but actually helped beef up that Giants O-line at the end of the season.
He did, and I tweeted out some information about Matt Ryan and the hits. You guys go check that out. It's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show's Dukes and Bell 929. Listen, we've got to get better up front. And if these guys help us, which I think they will, we'll talk more about it at 5 o'clock in our Falcon Report. This could be good for our Falcons football team and what potentially it may mean moving forward with the draft if we're doing this in free agency. With that, we welcome in Coach Hunter. And, Coach, it's always good to get you on. Today's a busy day in our world because, again, NFL free agency starts tomorrow. So we appreciate you being patient right there, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I love listening to you guys.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're the best. Man, you're the number one seed. Another 20-win season. 22 wins, as we said, to start the interview, winning the Sun Belt. How are you feeling about your team? Got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I do. I think we're playing our best basketball at the right time. And, you know, we kind of went through our little ups and downs this year. But at the end of the day, we won another championship, our third in 6 years, and got a chance to get back to the NCAA tournament, our third in 5 years. So, love what we're doing right now. Love how we're playing. Great game down at Georgia Southern the other day. The atmosphere was terrific. And to go into an in-state opponent with your rival and to win a championship, man, that's a big thing in college basketball.
It is. I think it's the hardest thing to do. I mean, you know, they know you. You know them. You're in their gym. 90-85 was the final score. So it was a close one, Coach. How did you guys pull this one out?
Well, it sounds crazy because it was 90-85, but I thought defensively we were really good for most part in the game. And you know, usually it's one of the hardest places to play, not only in our conference, but in the country. It's a tough place to play at Georgia Southern. And we hadn't won there really since 1996. And so for us to go in there and have that on a table, senior night, sellout crowd, again, I just thought our kids were extremely focused. We've been through so much in the last few years with this team that, you know, again, they were ready for this moment.
Because you are the number one seed in the Sun Belt Conference, how do you prepare? Knowing you, I mean, you have an idea who you're going to play, but how do you get ready?
We just do our thing and get ready. The tournament starts today. Teams are playing today. We got the double bye, so we don't have to play into the semifinals. So we knew that the number one seed was important because all you had to do was go win two games. And so we're not concerned about who we play. We just want to make sure at 3:00 Saturday we're ready to play, and then turn around and play again at 1:00 and win that game and get ourselves back to this NCAA tournament.
What are you asking from Simons in this stretch of tournament now, conference tournament, and, you know, the NCAA tournament? Because, Coach, I'm putting you guys in there. I mean, I think you've got the team to do it. Now you got to go, you know, beat some teams here over the next few days. But what are you asking from your best player? Because I've always said, if you've got one of these guys, these difference makers, you got a shot.
You know, I'm not asking a lot. I wanted to get about 32 points a game, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists. And so I don't want him to do a lot, but if he could just bring that to the table, I think we'll be okay.
32 and 10?
That sounds like a
and 9 assists?
Number.
Yeah, just 9 assists. I didn't want the triple-double, but just 9 assists. Just something that just good enough where I don't have to coach, you know?
That sounds about right. All right, Coach, here's the other thing. Now, you're playing down here at the Privateers place down at Lakefront. You're still down there in New Orleans. Now, what, you got these kids on lockdown? How do you keep these kids out of the trouble?
You know what? What we do is we'll get in on Thursday. We'll take them to dinner, let them hang out in New Orleans downtown, and enjoy themselves Thursday night. But then on Friday we start to get ready and prepare. And then when they go to sleep, I go out again on Friday night, and then I'm going out on Saturday night when they go back to bed. And then I'm gonna come back to Atlanta and celebrate Sunday night.
Nice. I think craps for Coach Carl at Harris, it kind of settles the nerves.
it could. It's Ron Hunter, guys, with us here on Dukes and Bell, making his weekly visit. Sun Belt Conference tournament getting underway this week. By the way, I mentioned Simons. He was named All Sun Belt First Team Coach. And seriously, I mean, talk about what he's meant to your club and how special of a player he is.
Well, he's been a great player. He's been terrific, and he's only one of four players that back to back years first team all conference, and you know, in the history of Georgia State, and he's just been really good. He's been a great team player and understands how to win. And he's done really everything at this level that you could possibly do. And one of the things that he wants to do is he wants to do what RG did. He wants to go in the NCAA tournament and win games. And so I always tease him about, you know, the best player to ever put on a Georgia State uniform. You know, today RJ didn't go to back-to-back NCAA tournaments, and RJ did win an NCAA tournament game, so you can go win too. And so, you know, they're really good friends, but that's what he wants to do. And so our goal is to finish this weekend off, and we really, really want to get to next weekend. That's what we would love to be able to get to, be playing next weekend. That has been one of our goals from the first time when we lost to Cincinnati last year. We want to be playing after the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. We got a lot of work to do, but that's our goal, and I know that's DeMarcus's goal.
Coach, we always appreciate you jumping on. We wish you the best of luck, and we want to be talking about dancing when we get to a chance to visit with you next week.
That'd be nice. Let's make sure we get that done.
All right, Coach. Take care. Good luck.
All right, guys. Thanks. God bless.
You got it, man. And we talked about this the other day. The RPI, for what it's worth, they're actually top 60. So, I mean, you could argue, and I know that nobody wants to hear it, but mid-major's got to win the Sun Belt. You got to go. And Ron's talked about that before. But you could argue, Carl, if they did win and went and then lost their championship game, you know, their RPI might have them, you know, into a play-in game. Yeah. You know, I mean, there are other options, but we'll see how it goes.
Hey, man, a quick reminder, Atlanta soccer fans, join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Carriage Kia in Woodstock from noon to 2 next Saturday for a meet and greet with Atlanta soccer players Michael Parkhurst and Jeff Lorenowitz. Plus, Mike Conte and Jason Longshore will be broadcasting live, talking all things soccer, guys. It's going to be a good time out there. Stop by for a chance to win cool prizes, including an autographed Michael Parkhurst jersey. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up, our Falcon Report. Mike, I'm having a great conversation with one of our Twitter followers. His name is Andrew, and he was talking about the fact that it seems like the Falcons do this. We go out and we sign journeymen, all right? Using that term loosely, because a lot of guys in the NFL are that. But he says, I don't understand it, Dukes. I mean, you go through the draft, it's cheaper, and why are we not attempting to do that? I still think the Falcons could draft an O-lineman or two, guys.
Now, again, there's some really big names in the second round. You could do some of the things you need to do on the defensive side at tackle. We'll talk about it because, you know, look, it is always the bee in my bonnet. Why don't we ever go for a big-time draft pick on O-line? We'll talk about it with the Falcons Report next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.